You ever have one of those mornings where the fog is just sitting on the field, and you know something's about to change? I'm Taildragger, and this is the Hangar on Radio Hangar. Pull up a chair because today's date carries some weight. Real weight. April 21st. On this day, 108 years ago, the most famous fighter pilot who ever lived took his last flight. Manfred Albrecht von Richthofen. 80 confirmed aerial victories. The Red Baron. And the thing that still gets me, all these years later, is that nobody can agree on who actually killed him. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. So let's go back. April of 1918, the Western Front. The war had been grinding on for nearly 4 years, and in the air above the Somme Valley, the Royal Air Force, barely 3 weeks old as its own service branch, was tangling daily with the German Luftstreitkräfte. Now Richthofen at this point was already a legend, not just among the Germans. The British knew exactly who he was. They feared him. They respected him. Some of them were a little obsessed with him, honestly. His Jagdgeschwitz I. What the Allies called the Flying Circus had been painted in those wild personal colors, and Richthofen's own Fokker Doctor .1 triplane was that famous blood red.
But here's the thing, people forget. By April of 1918, the Red Baron was not the same pilot he'd been a year earlier. In July of 1917, he'd taken a bullet to the head during a dogfight, creased his skull, he'd crashed, survived, came back to duty, but the headaches never stopped. He had bouts of nausea. Some historians believe he was dealing with what we'd now recognize as traumatic brain injury. His judgment was different, his aggressiveness was different, his own pilots noticed it. On the morning of April 21st, the weather over the Somme was actually decent for a change. Broken clouds, good enough visibility to fight. Richthofen led a flight of triplanes up from their field at Cappy and went hunting along the front lines.
Now here's where it gets interesting. A young Canadian pilot, Lieutenant Wilfred May, was flying with No. 209 Squadron, Royal Air Force. This was essentially May's first real combat sortie. His flight commander, a fellow Canadian named Captain Arthur Roy Brown, had told May very specifically, stay above the fight, watch, learn, and do not engage, which of course is exactly what May did not do. May dove into the scrap, fired off his guns at a couple of German aircraft, and then his guns jammed. Classic. So now he's low, he's slow, he's trying to clear a stoppage, and he's exactly the kind of target a man like Richthofen could not resist. The Red Baron latched onto May's tail and started chasing him down the Somme Valley, right down low, dangerously low, treetop level, following the canal. May was terrified. He was throwing his Sopwith Camel around, trying everything he could think of, but Richthofen stayed glued to him, rounds punching through the fabric of May's wings. May later said he could hear the bullets going past his head. Roy Brown, May's flight commander, saw what was happening. He dove after Richthofen from above and behind, firing a burst as he swept through. Brown would later be officially credited with the kill, but... And this is the but that has fueled arguments for over a century. Richthofen's triplane continued flying for a short distance after Brown's pass, then set down roughly in a field near the village of Vaux-sur-Somme. Australian soldiers from the 53rd Battery of the Australian Field Artillery ran to the aircraft and found Richthofen slumped in the cockpit, dead. He'd been struck by a single .303 caliber bullet that entered his right side, passed through his chest, and exited near his left nipple, a fatal wound. He likely had less than a minute of consciousness after being hit. Now here's the problem, the trajectory of that bullet. It came from below and to the right. Roy Brown attacked from above and behind, the angles don't match. The Australians on the ground had been firing at Richthofen's triplane as it streaked along the canal at low altitude. Multiple ground gunners claimed the shot. Sergeant Cedric Popkin, operating a Vickers machine gun, had the best case. He was positioned to Richthofen's right, firing upward. The bullet's path through the body lines up almost perfectly with Popkin's position. There was a medical examination. Actually, there were multiple examinations because different units kept wanting their own look. And the doctors consistently noted that the wound trajectory was inconsistent with an aerial attack. It was consistent with ground fire. The Royal Air Force credited Brown. They wanted an air-to-air kill. It was better for morale, better for the story. A knight of the air brought down by another knight of the air. The Australians were furious. They knew what they saw. They knew the angles, but the politics of it went above their heads. Brown himself, to his credit, was never entirely comfortable with the claim. He didn't brag about it. In later years, he spoke about that day with what you might call reluctance. He knew he'd fired at Richthofen. He believed he might have hit him. But he also saw the triplane continue flying after his burst, which doesn't fit a heart and lung shot. Now, what gets me about this story, as a pilot, is the tactical picture. Richthofen broke every rule he'd set for himself and his own men. He chased a single inexperienced pilot down to treetop level, deep over enemy territory, fixated on the kill. Target fixation, the same thing that gets pilots killed to this very day. This was a man with 80 victories. He knew better, he'd written about it. He taught his pilots never to do exactly what he did that morning. Was it the brain injury affecting his judgment? Was it the accumulated fatigue of years of combat? Was it just a moment of predatory instinct overriding discipline? Nobody knows. But Manfred von Richthofen, who had survived over 400 combat missions and built the most fearsome fighter unit in the sky, died because he broke his own rules. The Australians buried him with full military honors. They respected what he was, a pilot, an enemy, yes, but a pilot first. They carried his coffin on their shoulders. They fired a salute, they dropped a wreath over the German lines from an aircraft, with a photograph of the funeral, to let his comrades know he'd been treated with dignity. His triplane was stripped for souvenirs within hours. Fabric, instruments, the control stick, pieces of the engine cowling. Everyone wanted a piece of the Red Baron's last aircraft. It was scattered across 100 pockets and footlockers before the sun went down. 80 victories, 25 years old, dead on this date, 108 years ago. And we still argue about who pulled the trigger. That's aviation history for you, messy, human, full of moments where skill and luck and bad decisions all crash into each other, and the truth gets buried under the story everyone wants to tell. Most of what I shared today draws from the research of historians like Peter Kilduff and Norman Franks, who spent decades digging through the primary sources to separate what happened from what the propaganda offices wanted to have happened. If you want to go deep on this one, their work is where you start. More episodes and more hangar flying at RadioHangar.com. Fly safe out there. And remember, the rules you set for yourself only work if you follow them, even on the days it's hardest. Especially on those days.